Greetings and welcome to this week's Ohio State 360 podcast brought to you by Kroger. I'm your host, Matt Andrews. We thought we'd start out by chatting with men's golf coach at Ohio State, Jay Mosley. Jay in his eighth season as the Buckeyes golf coach, and we welcome you to the show, Jay. You started back in the summer of 2015. Let's fast forward now in this season. What a summer your program has had. There have been a lot of headlines. Just give us an idea of the state of your program and the likes of Motivan and Shipley and what kind of summer it's been for you and the golf squad.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Matt. Most recently, we saw a superb performance out of Neil Shipley, who made it all the way to the finals of the U.S. Amateur out at Cherry Hills in Denver, Colorado. So Neil's coming off a fantastic summer, which really kind of got kickstarted in our postseason back in May, and he had a number of runner-up finishes, three runner-ups leading into the USAM, where he also finished as the runner-up there. So he ended up finishing fourth in the Elite AM series, a new summer series that has been started for elite amateurs and high-level college players that really, you know, gets them all together to play in top events. And there's a number of exemptions that are out on the line, so you get a lot of competitive players in those fields. And for Neil to finish in the top five of that in its second year was a tremendous accomplishment. And then he polished it off with just a phenomenal performance out at Cherry Hills at the U.S. Amateur. And we couldn't be more proud. He obviously wanted to get the win and bring back the Havemeyer Trophy to Columbus, but his opponent certainly played some unbelievable golf, and tip of the cap to Nick Dunlap for winning the USAM. But Neil certainly had a great summer. Maxwell Moldovan, another senior on our squad, has had a really incredible summer. He made the cut at the U.S. Open out at L.A. Country Club this past June. That's his second U.S. Open appearance, which is pretty incredible for a student athlete in college. And Max also had a really strong showing throughout the summer at the U.S. Amateur, the Western AM. He Monday qualified for the Barbasol Championship, PGA Tour event down in Kentucky. So we've definitely had some players, and in particular Neil and Max, really have had great summers, and we're excited to get the fall season underway here in a few weeks.
Now, for Neil, as I understand, this also means a Masters berth and the U.S. Open next year. Is that correct?
That's correct. Traditionally, the U.S. Amateur champion and runner-up will receive invitations to the Masters. He's already been exempt into the U.S. Open in 2024, which will be at Pinehurst. And so hopefully around December, he'll get a great Christmas letter, a great Christmas present in the form of an invitation to the Masters tournament, which would be an incredible experience for him. To get as an amateur, he's already been talking about staying up in the crow's nest and all the traditions that amateurs get to enjoy at the Masters. So that'll be a real treat for him and for our program as well.
Gary Pettit, your fine SID, indicates that you were out there. You actually flew back on Sunday, correct, to watch Neil kind of polish up that runner-up?
Yeah, so our assistant coach, Jimmy Beck, was on the bag caddying for Neil throughout the week. And I was caddying up until the Joe Wilson, who I was caddying for, missed the cut. And I stayed for a few more days, came back home, told Neil that I'd be back to see him in the finals. And sure enough, he made it there. And a couple people from Columbus were able to fly in, and some of his buddies from back home. There were big crowds out there for the final match, and it was great to you know, witness that.
That's incredible. Now we talked about Moldovan, and he made the cut at the U.S. Open. Watched that on television. Prime for his senior year, and is going to start ranked very highly, number six in the PGA Tour U standings. Can you explain that a little bit more for those of us that are a little unaware about that ranking?
Yeah, that's correct, Matt. So in the recent years and really in the last few years since COVID, the PGA Tour board and player board and others involved at the tour, they've really looked at what college golf is, and they've done a lot of research on, you know, the path to the PGA Tour and what that looks like. And they've really kind of validated what college golf does in terms of preparing players for success into the PGA Tour and into professional golf and the Korn Ferry and all their levels of professional golf that the tour sponsors. And so they launched this new PGA Tour U, which there's a number of eligibility benchmarks that you have to meet, primarily of which is you have to complete 4 years of college and complete your 4 years of eligibility to receive the benefits for PGA Tour U. And those benefits have increased every year of the program. And it's stretched all the way out to the top 20 players receive some kind of status on the Korn Ferry Tour or PGA Tour Canada or some of their other tours that the tour sponsors. And so it's been a great addition to the college golf family to be able to have our players, our top players, our top, you know, athletes that are completing their eligibility for colleges, instead of leaving school and having, you know, starting at zero in terms of their status, they're able to go straight onto one of the tours and have some status and have some guaranteed starts. And it really helps the transition to be able to have a landing spot to you know, be able to play and have some status right away when they finish school. So that's been a great addition. As you mentioned, Max will start number six on that list. And he definitely has his eyes set and goals to move up to potentially get some additional starts that the top five receive. So that'll be a big goal and something to watch for throughout this season.
Coach, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the new assistant you've brought on, a former player of yours, right?
That's correct, Matt. Jimmy Beck played for me at Kennesaw State from 2011 to 2015. And he brings a great record and resume to our program, and his skill set will truly be enjoyed by all the members of our team. He's a great player and can still play at an extremely high level. He had 8 years of professional golf experience prior to starting with us in April. And so Jimmy's excited to you know, not only learn more about, you know, Ohio State and our program, but also to teach these young men some skills that can really help them on and off the golf course. And I couldn't be more excited for our team to get to be around him and be a part of have him be a part of our journey as a program.
Hey, Buckeye fans, did you know that Kroger app gives you easy access to weekly sales, personalized coupons, and fuel points too? Check out the app today and save while you get ready for game day. Kroger, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Jay Mosley, Ohio State men's golf coach, is our guest. Let's talk about the experience. You've mentioned that a couple of guys, Adam Wallen's another one that comes back for a senior, as an upperclassman, I should say, and he's been a rock for your team. So this experience with some of the younger guys, because I understand there's a younger crop right now in your squad, how does it all kind of mix and mash in together as you get set for what's coming this spring, Coach?
Yeah, that's a great point. We do have a number of young players that are eager and ready to contribute to a team that's been pretty much the core of our squad for a couple seasons now. We currently have five seniors on our team, three of which are what we call them, the super seniors, that they've been around for 5 years and have their COVID year, that their freshman year was the COVID year that was cut short. So we have two true seniors, three their fifth years, and so those five guys have seen a lot of playing time, and we have five freshmen and sophomores that are also really really talented and eager to kind of you know, step in and get some opportunities to play and contribute. You know, they've all experienced some success both at the junior level and you know, working their way through college, and they've certainly learned a lot from being around the guys that you already mentioned, Max, Neil, Adam, and you know, they've seen what those guys did, and you know, being around them in qualifying and in practice, and during the off season to see, you know, really what the college golf, you know, season and you know, the environment looks like for them has been great to, you know, provide some good tutelage to them. And we're excited about both the present and the future of the program.
Expectations probably about as high as ever, considering you've been to the NCAA championship the last couple of years. How do you handle expectations as you go into a year where there are some, Coach?
Well, I think the important thing for us is we realize there have been more and more eyes on us as we've had some more success. But the core of our program is centered upon hard work and discipline and just, you know, pursuing, you know, not just golf, but, you know, everything in life with a strong passion and love for what you do and what you enjoy. And these guys, they were brought to Ohio State because of how much they love the game of golf and how much they love and enjoy the demands and the peaks and valleys and all the emotions that come with it. So we know that you know they have the right approach to you know to handle any type of expectation that may be labeled or put upon us. We're just going to go out and we're going to do the things that we know that we need to work on and improve and continue to, you know, get better each day, each week. And, by the time that championships roll around in May, we know and trust that our system will have us in a better place than we are right now. And so our guys are just eager to compete with one another and they're excited about, you know, what could happen, but they also know that, you know, potential is only a thing that you know really means you haven't done anything quite yet. So we're excited just to go out and you know let our work do the talking for us and just get out and play. That's what these guys enjoy doing and that's what we'll continue to do.
Before the NCAAs this year, the Big Tens will be here in Columbus, Scioto Country Club. You know the course, you know about the history, I'm sure. You're a very, very avid fan of the game, but how prominent will that be for the city and the university to be able to kind of shine a light on that course? And that's quite a significant issue, I would think, and something you guys look forward to coming this spring, right?
That's exactly right, Matt. And first and foremost, I hope that every listener and many, many others will be able to come out and enjoy watching the Big Ten Championship. It'll be free to the public. We hope we can get some great crowds and a lot of scarlet and gray in the galleries for that event. That'll be April 26th to the 28th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three-round event at Scioto. We certainly do know how much history and just a great legacy that club has. And it gives me goosebumps every time I walk through the clubhouse and see the Nicholas Library and just see, you know, all the history that's littered, you know, all across the property and the golf course. The Andrew Green and his team did a extensive renovation to the golf course pretty recently that was concluded just over a year ago. And so the golf course will be fairly new to everyone that's there. Not many teams, you know, have seen the course, and including ours, with some of the changes. And so it'll be exciting and present some great challenges, but I think, you know, as talented as these players are, I'm sure they'll all find a way to play some great golf that week. And it should be a fantastic championship and one that we're proud to have, you know, right down the street from us.
Jay Mosley, Buckeye men's golf coach, is our guest for a few more minutes on the 360 podcast. You mentioned Andrew Green. Jim Nantz brought him up this past week watching the championship down in Atlanta. He's about to take on bunkers and renovate some of that as well. What do you know about him? And I guess clearly he's got a vision unlike any other right now in the game of golf.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the hot names of golf course design, and he's done a lot of renovation and restoration projects. Prior to Scioto, he completed a renovation up at Inverness in Toledo, and we've had an opportunity to go up there to play, and he did a fantastic job at Inverness and obviously at Scioto as well. So he definitely knows what he's doing. He's very skilled and talented. to be able to take a lot of the old classic renderings of the club and the courses of what it used to look like and kind of put that into a realistic modern, you know, blueprint of what, you know, golf should look like in, you know, this current era and with the current technology and everything. So that's no easy task, and he's managed to do it quite well at a lot of top clubs and a lot of top courses all over the United States. And he should be commended for everything that he's doing. And I'm sure he'll do a masterful job at Eastlake as well.
Coach, before we get into some broad topics, I want to ask you about the Big Ten realignment, renovation within the conference. How does the new schools coming in affect men's golf and your view, I guess, on what that might do for where you might play, what you might do in terms of different courses they get you on?
Well, a couple things come to mind. Number one, I don't truly know what exact impact the new additions will, the new schools will have on the sport of men's and women's golf. We don't play a regular season conference schedule like many of the other sports do. And for example, our season is put together and organized by each individual coach at each school, and we play in tournaments, usually 9 or 10 tournaments throughout the season, where anywhere from, you know, 8, 10, 12, 15 schools will compete. And so a lot of times we don't actually see some of the teams in the conference and in the Big Ten until the Big Ten tournament, which is in April. And so we may not see a lot of those schools until the Big Ten tournament at the end of our season. There's definitely a possibility that, you know, sometime in the near distant future, we have a Big Ten golf tournament that's out on the West Coast, and that's, you know, closer to one of the schools that that has recently joined. And each school kind of brings different host possibilities to the conference, and we have a coaches vote on you know, those host venues. And we've had some great golf courses, you know, in recent years with Scioto and 24. We recently played Galloway National, Crooked Stick, Baltimore Country Club, and you know, the Big Ten is we've got a great outreach, you know, with a lot of great relationships. And I'm sure there's some courses that would be eager to host the Big Ten out west. So there's certainly that possibility. But from a regular season standpoint, I don't know that much will change philosophically in our scheduling. But we're certainly excited about the addition of more teams and more eyes on the conference. And I view it as, you know, overall a definite positive for our sport and in the Big Ten as a whole.
Hey, Buckeye fans, whether you're stocking up for your tailgate party or just inviting a few friends over to watch the game, the Kroger app is an easy way to get all the great food and drinks for game day. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Jay, I want to ask you about the portal. How has that benefited? How has that been something that either you've used or will continue to use within men's golf in the college game?
Well, if Neil Shipley continues to have a final season like he had this summer, I'm going to be a huge advocate of the portal. But all kidding aside, I think the one thing that's been extremely advantageous for us during COVID, when so many athletes have had, you know, additional years of eligibility that they've been able to pursue, you know, graduate degrees and programs and whatnot. We have been a huge beneficiary of that because of the 100 or so graduate programs and degrees and certificates that are available at Ohio State. And not every school has that to offer. So a lot of athletes have found themselves looking at, you know, degree options for grad school. And we've, I believe Neil is our fifth grad transfer that's come in during the COVID era and the portal since the portal was you know, brought into college athletics. The portal obviously has a lot of controversy and a lot of you know, pros and cons to it, but specifically with these athletes who have been pursuing, you know, graduate programs as a result of having additional years of eligibility. It's been, I think it's presented them with a tremendous opportunity, you know, to pursue additional education and, you know, find a home that's suitable for them and their, you know, professional and personal careers beyond college athletics. As far as the undergraduate goes, it's there's a lot of good, bad, and indifferent with it. You know, every case is extremely different, you know, about, you know, should an athlete be in the portal? Is it necessary? Sometimes there's a need for it. And so every case is a little bit different. There's never going to be a solution to the portal that's perfect for all parties involved. But I certainly think it does meet a lot of needs of the athlete, and it can be advantageous to you know, teams and coaches as well.
The retirement of Gene Smith is coming. Thoughts on your director of athletics, what he's meant to the university, your program, and if you have a little antidote you'd like to share, feel free, but just in general, what he has done at Ohio State.
Well, Gene Smith's legacy, you know, in the first, you know, 15 or 16 years, was certainly incredible, and he's had his fingerprints all over college athletics in a huge way. And I personally feel like he was one of the greatest leaders in any industry during and throughout COVID. There were a lot of people that, you know, turned the other way and tucked and ran and hide and, you know, went into retirement. Gene took the bull by the horns. He was an incredible leader throughout COVID and since then. And, you know, his legacy in not only Ohio State tradition and athletic history, but across, you know, sport and in college and across the NCAA landscape, his impact has been, you know, truly indescribable and priceless. So we wish him the best in his retirement. Hopefully we'll see him out on the golf course in Scottsdale a little bit. We've been working on his game a little bit. He's got some work to do, but we couldn't say, you know, any more great things about Gene and his time at Ohio State. And we're certainly going to miss him, but at the same time, I know, you know, he feels like it's time for someone else to step into that role, and we're going to be supportive throughout the transition and excited about, you know, whoever that will be that, you know, takes that on. But I certainly feel for whoever it is, they're going to have, you know, some massive, massive shoes to fill.
Jay, tell us about your family, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so my wife Kelly and I have two children. We have an eight-year-old son. His name's Tripp. So Tripp was born about 2 months before we moved up to Columbus. So I was going through the interview process when he was just a little toddler, and then and so he knows nothing but the Columbus scene, and he's a huge Buckeye fan, loves Brutus, and our daughter Georgia is 6 and a half. They're in first grade and kindergarten, and we're in the full swing of fall sports, so they're staying very active, and they love cheering on their Buckeyes. So we enjoy being here in Columbus, and it's been a great home for our family.
I'm going to leave you with this, and I'll let you have the last word. We're on a season of Buckeye football where whatever sport you're coaching, it's a part of the fabric of the Saturday. And whether you're recruiting or you're just out with the family or maybe some friends and tailgating or just here on an autumn Saturday. And again, now you've got some SEC ties. I get that. But tell me what it's like for you and your program to be a part of a game day of Ohio State football and the impact that has on your youngsters.
We have a really big time with home football games and football Saturdays. If we're on the road, we're always tuned in to watch the games or listen to the action or follow it. In the event that we have a competition during a game, our guys are, needless to say, somewhat distracted. Yeah. And, you know, they're asking for updates and whatnot, which in the game of golf, you can kind of let your mind go, you know, in between shots, and you know, we kind of keep it fun and loose for them. But certainly during home games that we're in town for, it's first and foremost, it's an enormous recruiting opportunity for us. Our prospects are extremely bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when they get to go to games and get to take in the whole game day experience, and we embrace that. You know, we communicate with them that that's a part of, you know, our team culture. Is we go, the guys all sit together at games. You know, they do some pregame stuff together, whether it's out of the course or, you know, just, you know, in and around the stadium. Game days are a part of our program for sure. And it's a very enjoyable part of the experience of being a Buckeye.
Jay Mosley, the head men's golf coach at Ohio State since 2015. We appreciate your time on the podcast, Jay. It's been an, if you don't mind me stealing the term, it's been an ace of a summer for you and your squad. A lot of great attributes, and we appreciate your time and sharing with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on, Matt, and go Bucks.